Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. This is, today is Thursday, April 4th, 2014. I was testing you to see if you were paying attention. This is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. This is our weekly edition of Smart Talk Elections 2014, Know Your Candidates. Now, tonight we're not going to be talking to any candidates, but it's going to be a very interesting, informative, and lively show, so please tune in. Now, you can call in at 347-857-4364, and if you want to speak on the air, you have to push 1. Make sure you press 1 to speak on the air, otherwise I don't pay any attention to you being out in the queue. I leave you alone and let you continue to listen. You can also go into the chat room and submit some questions out there. So that tonight, like I say, we're going to have a very lively show. We're going to be talking about the Operation American Spring, and we're also going to talk about gun confiscation and what they're doing up there in Connecticut. Now, the host for tonight is Sherry Smart and Neil Rice. And before I switch over to Sherry, I've got to say just one thing. I'm really looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be really good, a lot of information. I'm really interested in Operation American Spring. And then the other is, I wanted to just take a couple of minutes to say a prayer for those of Fort Hood. I mean, this is happening again. We have some serious problems out there, and I just couldn't believe what I was hearing yesterday with this massacre again on Fort Hood. There's got to be something better. I don't know. I'm not a military person myself, so I don't understand all this part of it, but it just seems like, and I really don't feel any comfort from our commander-in-chief. He was sorry that it happened, and that's all fine and dandy, but I don't see him doing anything about it. I don't see him leading, and I'm hoping tonight that a few of the guests will be able to talk about that subject, just a little bit. I don't want to spend all our time tonight talking on Fort Hood, because we need to talk about these other issues, but at the same time, this just happened yesterday, and I would just ask everybody to please say a prayer for him. And I don't know, we've got to do something. We've got to do something to secure our homeland. We've got to do something to protect the American people. We've got to do something to save this country. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and flip this over to Sherry. Sherry, how are you doing tonight?
Great, and thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Neil. And this is Sherry Smart, and I really want to welcome our guests this evening. I'm not certain if Charles Schulzer's on the line or not. Is he with us?
That is correct.
Okay, great. Charles? I really don't have a whole lot of bio on you. He's filling in for Colonel Riley right now with Operation American Spring. Colonel Riley is in the hospital with his wife. He will be joining us, but he's going to be a little late because of what's going on. So Charles was gracious enough to come on and speak with us about Operation American Spring. And I'm not certain what state you're in, Charles.
I'm in Virginia.
Okay, so Robert is the head of the Virginia state, and you're filling in for Robert then.
I'm actually filling in for Colonel Riley. Now, I don't know who was.
Oh, okay. I thought Robert Tozzino was the Virginia state leader for OAS, and I knew he was going to fill in for Colonel Riley, and then I got an update that you were going to fill in for Robert. So welcome, Charles, and thank you for being
My
here.
My understanding is I'm filling in for Colonel Riley, if I have
okay,
that wrong,
fine.
I understand corrected.
No,
I will
no,
say this: I'm not the colonel, and I'm not going to pretend to be. But I make some really. I make some very good fried chicken.
Hey, that's a hit with all three of these ladies.
No, I've got the wrong colonel, don't I?
No, as long as you make great fried chicken, we don't care. But do you want to talk a little bit about Operation American Spring? It's going on for May 16th. Is the target date. And you want to tell people about it that have never heard about this before.
Well, let me start by saying this. We are Americans that love our country. We are Americans that believe in freedom, believe in liberty, believe in the Constitution of the United States. That's what we believe in. And the only thing we desire is for our country to be governed in accordance with the three things I just mentioned, liberty, freedom, and the Constitution of the United States. I am going to make the case that we are not doing that And as a result of us not being governed by those three issues, those three principles, we are going to try to do something about it. Now, we have some military people, ex-military, that once again are bravely standing up to defend our country, and they're putting this together like they would any other military mission, albeit peaceful. This is peaceful. We have no intention of doing anything but being peaceful. At the same time, this is being put together by design as a military operation, and that's why it's called Operation American Spring, subtitled The Beginning, Tyranny, House Cleaning. We are dedicated to cleaning up tyranny in this government. I'm going to maintain, and I think rightly so, that there's no one party responsible for this. There's no one president responsible for this. This is not about Barack Obama. This is not about Republicans. This is not about Democrats. This is about people that have been elected in our three branches of government, or appointed in our three branches of government, that are knowingly and willfully violating their sworn oath. All these people put their hand on a Bible or a Quran or whatever they're using now. The device is academic. They put their hand on a device, and they swear to do what? Uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. They are not doing that. They are knowingly and willfully not doing that. That is an unlawful act, and people need to understand that it is an unlawful act. They also need to understand, and I beg people to please look at this. I'm not the kind of person that just goes around trying to stir up trouble. We are trying to prevent trouble. These people are highly intelligent, highly educated, whether they're in the House, whether they're in the Senate, whether they're in the Supreme Court, whether they're the Vice President, whether they're the President. Very intelligent, very deliberate in what they do. Very well thought out what they do. We are living in a time when these people knowingly and willfully are not going by the Constitution of the United States. We will not let that stand. That is an unlawful act. It is a criminal act. And people need to finally now realize that is, unfortunately, what we're dealing with. Barack Obama can leave the presidency. This problem remains. You could get rid of the majority of the Senate right now. The problem remains. You could get rid of the majority of the House of Representatives right now. The problem remains. It does not matter who we have in those jobs if they are going to knowingly and willfully violate the Constitution of America. And I know that was very long-winded, but that is what we're doing. It's a military operation. It's starting on May the 16th. We plan on staying until we get this resolved.
Do you anticipate any pushback at all?
Absolutely. I absolutely do. I do not know when. Do not know what form it will be in. Do not know how aggressive it may or may not be. But, yes, I do. I do anticipate that. But let me say this to you. Freedom comes with a price. And there are those of us who are willing to pay that price. Do I wish to do that? Do I desire to do this? No, I do not. I'm living down here in Virginia. I have a place that I like. I have four children. I have nine grandchildren. I don't need this extra stress. I do not need these extra problems. But what I will not do, and what the majority of the people I am talking to are going to say, we are not going to go to the graveyard and leave our children and grandchildren live in tyranny. So let them push back if they wish to. But we're not going away.
Well, what I find interesting is you don't hear any of this on any media outlets. I mean, you don't even hear it on local, you know, AM stations. Nowhere do you see it. You see it basically through the underground media.
Yeah, you know, and that's a form of pushback in itself now, isn't it?
Pretty much.
And I'll say this, because a lot of the patriots that are getting involved in this are concerned about that. I'm not one that is concerned about that, and let me tell you why. And I do see it as a form of pushback. The reason I'm not concerned about that is we are grassroots. We are simple, everyday American citizens. We're talking to our brothers. We're talking to our sisters. We're talking to our neighbors. We're talking to our preachers. We're talking to our councilmen. We're talking to whoever we can to let them know what we're going to do. We want to do that. We want to define ourselves. At the point in time the national media gets involved in this, they're going to do the same thing to us they so ably did with the Tea Party, characterize them as racist, maligners, anti-unpatriotic, whatever they called them, and just do everything they can to destroy that movement when there all you have is, in my view, a bunch of patriots that want it. A little less government, a little less spending, and a little more sanity in this country.
Yeah, a little more accountability from our elected leaders, just some accountability. Have them follow the same laws and regulations that we're having to abide by.
Well, that is by design. Listen, years ago, and again, I can't emphasize enough, but we're dealing with very intelligent people here. And I'm not going to venture to say this is a conspiracy. It might not be. What it is, though, is single purpose, single focus. Everything they're doing is leading to one thing, and that is tyranny in this government. And they're doing a real good job of it. They're doing an excellent job of that. I mean, let's go back to when they started this whole notion that the Supreme Court hears a case and makes a decision, and that's the end of the matter. Whoever, I don't know where that notion came from. We have three equal branches of government. Each of them have a responsibility and a function. Nowhere do I see it written that because the Supreme Court decides whether something's okay or not, that's the end of the matter. They might be wrong. What if they're wrong? So there's part of the problem there, which is a relatively large part of the problem. Of course, the other, by extension, the large part of the problem is knowingly and deliberately putting people on the Supreme Court that have no intention of going by the Constitution. And I'm not going to cite left or right on that matter because I'm not about left and right. I'm not about Republican or Democrat. And this Operation American Spring isn't either. What we're about is the Constitution, liberty, and freedom, just the opposite of where we're going and what these people are about. So that's what they've done with the Supreme Court. Now, our government was designed to be limited in scope for a reason. What did we pull against England for? For tyranny. What was the resistance about? Freedom and liberty. Why did we go to war with the most powerful military on the face of this earth up to that time? Because we wanted to? No. Because we had to. It was about freedom, liberty, and getting rid of tyranny. So the Supreme Court stands in the gap by virtue of the fact that they say that's the final word. If they're wrong, they're wrong, and they let it stand. Why? Why are they doing that? Beyond that, it's supposed to be limited in scope of our government. They continue to create all these bureaucracies through all these programs they come up with. That they say the American people want, that I've rarely seen the American public say they want to begin with. But even if the American public did say they wanted them, does that then mean we create bureaucracies of unelected people that are being paid by the hour, being paid by salary, using taxpayer money, that are not accountable to the taxpayer, how is that government by consent? They are not even accountable to the Senate or the House. As you've seen in some of these hearings we've had the past few years, they're not accountable to anybody. That, by definition, is tyranny. That is not representative government. People need to understand what we're dealing with. This is very serious. If you continue to let this train on this track go in the direction it's going in, the end game is going to be nothing that you're going to want to live in. And again, whether it's by design or not, matters not to me. Whether it's advertent or inadvertent, matters not to me. Whether it's a conspiracy or a non-conspiracy, matters not to me. The only thing that matters to us, the care about Operation American Spring and this country we live in, is the Constitution. That's our law that we are governed by, freedom and liberty. And why it has to get to the point where you have a 64-year-old man on the telephone with you, ma'am, that is going through this, and at this point in my life, that I have to talk about my country the way we're discussing it tonight, ought to be enough to ring bells all over this country. That's never happened in this country before. People aren't doing this because they feel like doing this in pre-retirement, post-retirement. People don't do that when they're ready to retire or retire. They don't. And it's not just older people involved, don't get me wrong, but there are many of us that are that age, and we have other things we'd like to be doing. I can tell you that.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I know everybody else does too. I'm sorry, was somebody saying something?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Sherry. We do have a caller out there with a question, but before we go there, I want to make sure we've covered the basic stuff first, and just let me know when you're ready to start taking some calls.
Anytime you're ready. That is fine.
Okay. Well, we have a call of the last four digits are 1818. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
I was trying to call in. It's Colonel Riley. But I just want to listen. You've got the best of the best on there right now. You don't need me.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry,
I told you
I'm
being good fried
chicken.
I told you I'm being good fried chicken.
Well, welcome. Sorry about that, though. Good thing we didn't keep you on hold too long.
Well, one thing about Operation American Spring, it's not driven from the top. It's driven from the bottom, those of us down here, you know, at the grassroots, and that's what it's all about. And we've got people in Operation American Spring that are faithful, and we're focused on one thing. And, you know, you're hearing, like I say, the best of the best. I've not heard it said any better than exactly what was just said.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's certainly a sacrifice at this point in time, and, you know, like you said, you're at the age where you should be enjoying your grandchildren and hoping, you know, letting the younger ones take the torch and pass it on. But I guess it's a testament to that spirit and to the fact that, you know, we do realize that things have gotten a little out of control, that we can no longer get the attention of our elected officials. And I'm not talking about just federally. I'm talking on a state level as well and a local level, that it seems that every time we want to have a conversation with those that we put into office, they want to act as though we don't have a voice any longer, that you voted for me and I'm going to do what I want to do and you don't have anything to say about it. And, you know, maybe in another 4 years when there's another election, you have another opportunity to speak. And it seems that's the way our country has been headed for some time now, that our voices have been stifled and silenced, and now it's time to stand up.
Yeah, and it is time to stand up, and that is what we're going to do. And what I would really strongly advise everybody to understand is this is peaceful, and we're going to keep it that way. Now, if they come in there and do some of the things that I know they're capable of doing, there's very little we can do to prevent that. But trust me when I tell you this, we're not going away. that is not going to happen. This is coming to a stop. It's coming to an end. We are dedicated to one cause and one cause only, and that is the United States of America, the Constitution of the United States of America, liberty and freedom. Now, here's the part that really concerns me, is how it's gotten to the point in time where people that just said what I just said are considered to be radicals. Considered to be radicals by the very people who represent us. That's how they view us. We're radicals. And you will see that that is how we're going to
be. Hey, Rose, who is that that's on the radio right now?
Pardon me?
Who? Who is it? What's his name?
Sorry?
Yeah. No, the other guy.
Paul?
Yeah, who's talking?
I can't
sounds
understand.
Sounds like a
you.
Allie?
Paul, P-A-U-L-L.
Yes. Who's on the phone?
Charles.
Seems like
thank
we have
you.
A lot of people
okay,
on the line, Allie.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Somebody wanted to know who I was. My name is Charles F. Sulzer, Jr. Live in Stafford County, Virginia. In fact, I live on the very grounds. It's called Ferry Farm. George Washington lived here as a boy. His father owned all this property. This is where, by legend, he cut down the cherry tree and threw a coin across the Rappahannock River. I don't know if that really happened or not, but this is where it was supposed to have happened. And I also live on Patrick Henry Street, which is crazy to me. I've just been living here about 4 years now. But I've always loved Patrick Henry ever since I was a kid and first heard about him. And I've grown to admire George Washington the more I have read about that gentleman. And for me to wind
oh,
up
yeah.
where I'm at now and then doing what I'm doing now is kind of eerie to me. But I'm actually on
yep.
the grounds where George ran around when he was a boy. Probably ran right past where I'm standing right now. But I do know this.
Well,
I don't think Patrick Henry or George Washington would have put up with this stuff that's going on now. And back to what I was saying earlier, how did it become, get to the point where people that are talking like I am are considered radical? But you know what? Here's the parallel to history. What was Patrick Henry considered? What was General Washington considered? What was Benjamin Franklin considered? And John Adams? Alexander Hamilton? What were they considered to be? Radicals. Why? Same reason, freedom and liberty. Tyrants will never like people like us. And I don't know how it happened in this country that it's gotten to the point it's gotten to. And I guess you could do a case study on it. I don't know. But I do know this. It's over, and it's coming to an end. And if any of those people up there are paying any attention at all to what's going on, they need to take heed. Because let me say this one more time, and I'm going to say it slowly and very deliberately. I've thought through this a long time before I started making this proposition. These are highly skilled, highly professional, well-trained, well-educated people in this government. Nothing they do is incidental or accidental or inadvertent. For them to swear on a Bible that they will uphold the Constitution of the United States and have no intention of doing so, although I would add that we do have a few more there that look like a go by the Constitution that we did a while back, but far from enough. Not enough that an election is going to change this. And if they're knowingly and willfully violating the Constitution, that is indeed an unlawful act. What I want people to please understand is this is not rhetoric. This is a fact of law. If they're unlawful, they are criminal. So this is why I'm saying this to anybody listening here tonight. Please hear me out. They're criminal and their actions. What does that mean to you? your family, your children, your grandchildren. What that means is you need to look at them for what they are. We are no longer living in a country where we just had fast-talking politicians, lying politicians, deceitful politicians, slick politicians. No, we're far past that. These people are knowingly and willfully violating their sworn oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. That is unlawful. It is criminal. Ladies and gentlemen, please view them for what they are. It will change everything when you listen to them and watch them. That's what I beseech people to do tonight.
Okay, we've
if we can get that
got
done.
A couple excuse me, I'm sorry there. We got a couple of people out there who have some questions, but I got to throw in, you know, the more I know about George Washington, President George Washington, the more you just know he really was the real deal, the man that could have been king, and he turned it down. And I tell it to people all the time to read his farewell address. It says everything about what's going on today. It really was true. But we do have a couple of callers, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, let's go with this first caller. The last four digits are 8132. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Yes, this is Wiley Drake. How are you guys?
Just fine, thank you.
Good to hear what you're saying about George Washington, and good to hear what you're saying about the operation that's going to be taking place, and we just praise God for it, and thank you for sharing, and thank you.
Sir, you are so very welcome.
Go ahead. Are you going to be
saying,
there?
You're very welcome, and we mean business. We're going to get this done.
Amen.
And Wiley, are you going to be able to participate? Are you planning on being there?
I'm going to be there. In fact, I'm going to be there even ahead of time. We're going in by train. We're the ones taking the train across country. We're going from Union Station, L.A., to Union Station, D.C.
This is Chaplain Wiley.
Yes.
This is Chaplain Wiley we have. Yes, you are going to be taking that train.
Yeah, we're going to take
I don't need
train.
To get on that train because I live in Virginia already. But if I did,
right.
I'd be jumping it.
Well, you can pray with us and pray for us. And also, one of the other things we're going to do ahead of time, on the 30th day of this month, on April the 30th, see, April the 30th, 1789, George Washington was inaugurated and gave his inaugural address on April the 30th there on Wall Street in the capital of the United States of America, which at that time was in New York at 26 Wall Street. And he gave his inaugural address, and the New York Times and the L.A. Times and other newspapers said it sounded more like a sermon than it did a political address. And so on the 30th day at 12 noon, April the 30th, 2014, your chaplain for OAS and the chairman of the Congressional Prayer Conference will preach that sermon there at 26 Wall Street that George preached, and then we'll take a prayer walk, as George did, up Broadway to 209 to St. Paul's Chapel, where we'll hold the 225th anniversary of the first Congressional Prayer Conference of the United States. And there's three ways people can join us. Number one, they can come to 26 Wall Street and walk with us where George walked. If they can't do that, they can join us by telephone. We'll have a prayer line open. We'll have an open line open. And we'll also be on TV on the Internet. So everybody can join us for the George Washington 225th anniversary of the Congressional Prayer Conference on April 30th.
Wow,
thank you for doing
great.
That. It does.
That's awesome. Now, how will they be able to get onto the TV on the Internet? What link would they go to for that?
They go to a thing called The Wiley Drake Show, T-H-E-W-I-L-E-Y-D-R-A-K-E-S-H-O-W, The Wiley Drake Show.
Okay.
They'll be able to pull it up and see us. And then if they want to just hear us, they can call in on a conference call number, which is 712-432-1690, access code 399-430#, and join us by communication telephone line, or join us on the internet, or they can join us boots on the ground and walk the same steps that Mr. Washington walked 225 years ago.
I don't have to go that far to be on the ground he walked on. I live here.
Yeah, amen. Well, we're talking
It's amazing. It's amazing every time I think about it.
Yeah, we're talking about a particular walk that he made, though, on
yes, you are.
On April the 30th, 1789, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity. And then on May the 7th, even just before we go back to D.C., on May the 7th, we're inviting all churches all across America to hold a special Wednesday night service in their church, and they can get the video from Statuary Hall in our Capitol building, because there is a website called Washington, a Man of Prayer, and you can go there and sign your church up. We're going to be holding a special service here in California. Other churches will be doing it all across America. All you got to do is go to that website and find out how to sign your church up for May the 7th for Washington, a Man of Prayer. And the website there is WashingtonAManOfPrayer.com. And so we would encourage you to do that in May, but in April on the 30th, join us. Boots on the ground or prayer in the air, whatever the Lord leads you to do, and join us for that. Join us for that special. In fact, the matter is, tonight when I do my show, I'm going to practice Mr. Washington's inaugural address on my show tonight in about 35 or 40 minutes, and people can listen in on that as well, and it is at thewileydrakeshow.com.
Well, that's great information. I'm hoping everybody got that. And if they didn't, they could probably go to your website to get it all from there, couldn't they?
They can, or they can just send me an email at Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y, Wiley@att.net, and put in GW or George Washington or whatever you want to put in and let me know, and I'll email back to them that information. It's also already up on Facebook and other places, Twitter and so forth. But just send me an email, or anybody out there can call me. My personal cell phone number, I am the chaplain of OAS at large. I'm also the chairman of the Congressional Prayer Conference of Washington, D.C., and I will be the preacher on station preaching George Washington's inaugural address, which was called a sermon. And if anybody wants to call me, they're welcome to do so 24/7. And that phone number is 714-865-8132. And I want to take just another personal moment right now, if I could please, and ask for special prayer for Colonel Riley's dear wife that's having some medical problems right now, and I think was either at the doctor's office or the hospital. So, Lord Jesus, we bring before you now the colonel's wife. We pray for healing for her body. We pray, Lord, that you'd help her to know that we're praying for her, but most of all, help her to know that you said, by your stripes are we healed. We claim healing for Mrs. Riley right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Wiley. This is Colonel Riley. She is resting. We experienced a couple of procedures that we weren't anticipating today. That's why I ended up being late this evening. But is this Sally that's hosting?
It's three of us, really, Colonel. I'm Sherry Smart. We've got Sally Baptist and Neil Rice. There's three of you.
Okay.
Yes, we're triple teaming you tonight.
Okay, well, I'll make a couple of comments, and you can go back to Charles because he can deliver OAS data as well as I can. But one thing for sure, our nation has been moving through darkness probably 100 years. It's been a long time coming through. We've seen attacks on the Constitution, modifies the Constitution, economic things that have been done through the Congress. But the last 6 years under the Obama regime, the attacks and the destruction of our nation has taken on an exponential rate. I mean, everything that that you can think about has been basically destroyed with regard to the Constitution. As Charles indicated, we have no longer three equal branches of government that oversight one another. We know that by just looking at what Obama, he's so blatant and arrogant, he holds up a pen and he said, Congress, if you don't do it, I'll just take my pen and I'll write another decree from King Obama, from the king. I'll do it myself. And he made that comment down at someplace not too long ago that to a guest, he said, I'm the president, I can do whatever I want to. I don't think that was a joke. I think that is exactly what he wants to do in his heart, and he's proven that right down through to this point. And, you know, the thing is, this darkness that's been creeping over our nation basically has gotten just about to a full eclipse in that we the people are completely separated from the federal leadership. They could care less about about we the people. The Congress clearly enumerates the powers Congress has and the government has, and it tells what the 10th Amendment does and what we the people, the rights and the power that we have. But, you know, we've tried for the last 6 years, you know, peacefully just trying to make a point with our elected officials, calling them, faxing them, sending message every way we could, visiting town halls. We were screaming in town halls. All they listened, but what did they do when they got back to Washington, D.C.? They just continued the same old thing. We've gone the same direction since the 2010 elections. We've continued to go into the abyss. I mean, they look at us when we go up to D.C. because usually it's a smaller group, or the big group, I guess it was the 9/11 group, where they said close to 2 million. But even that made no impression on the politicians. So the idea of the Egyptian Spring and the people over there, the principle of mass, that is what we, OAS, is modeled from. They put they're just like we are. They had enough, and they went to the streets by the millions. They changed their government the first time, getting rid of Mubarak, and they ended up with a worse situation, the Muslim Brotherhood, which, by the way, Obama and his administration supported, sent them money by the billions and all kinds of military equipment. So the idea of mass is what basically OAS is about. If we do not have a huge, gigantic outpouring from the citizens of the United States of America, then Obama is going to look at that as a surrender, and he is going to increase his takeover into creating for us a socialist, communist nation. And it was, you mentioned before that our grandchildren are going to be the recipients of this, and our great grandchildren. It's just the total leadership, the total failure of the federal leadership is just beyond belief. Every principle, and if we can take this principle of mass, we do it in the military when we're on the target and we're making or just prior to or at some point we're about to take the objective, then we mass our fires on the target, and that's exactly what OAS is doing. We have to mass we the people. If we can do that, I'm convinced that we're going to turn America around. It'll be like an earthquake. And if we don't do that, then American people are just unwilling to fight for their own nation, because we surely have fought all over the world over these last 60, 80 years, losing lives and blood and body parts and family destruction. And now, you know, we're thinking about our own freedom and liberty, not someone else's that we're fighting for. We're fighting for our very own. And
Colonel, ever since the first time I heard about Operation American Spring, and then I had the good fortune of hearing you talking to I forget who it was a lady in Ohio. It was a while back now. What it reminded me of is when I was a younger man and I was looking at what was going on in this country where these people that are supposed to be representing us continue to insulate themselves from the very people they represent or are supposed to represent. And I was trying to talk to people then about it. Of course, I lived in the People's Republic of Maryland. That didn't help. Thank God I'm in Virginia now. But that sure didn't help. But almost everybody said to me is we can never have a tyranny in the United States because we have a constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. And that is why they have completely, knowingly, and willfully swore on a Bible that they would uphold that document and have no intention of doing so. And you mentioned Barack Obama, and everything you said was true. But he would never be able to get away with that if he didn't have like-minded people in the Senate, like-minded people in the House of Representatives, and like-minded people on the Supreme Court of this country. It could never happen. And that's why.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know,
this is a tyranny we're living under. People need to understand that these people are criminal. And if the American public will finally come to terms with that one term, criminal, it's a game changer. That can change this whole thing. People view criminals much different than they do conniving politicians or lying politicians or smooth-talking politicians. That is not what we're dealing with. We are dealing with people that knowingly and willfully violate their sworn oath that they put their hand on a Bible and swore they would uphold the Constitution of this country. I would dare say most of them don't even know what's in the Constitution. When I was a boy, I lived in a place in Baltimore called O'Donnell Heights, a.k.a. Hillbilly Heights, is what they called it. It was a project. It was military housing at one time. After World War II, they converted it to civilian housing. A lot of people from West Virginia and places like that moved there. They started calling it Hillbilly Heights. So why do I bring that up? But, you know, a lot of these people couldn't even read and write. But I'll tell you what, they knew more about the Constitution than these people we have in Washington now.
I'm hearing some background, I'm not sure who that is. Okay. We do have two callers out there if you guys are ready for some questions.
Oh, please do.
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. Whoever's saying I'm telling you, you're not muting your mic. We can hear whatever that discussion is there. Okay, we're going to Mr. Klein. Charlie, you are on the air.
Hello, everybody. It's a wonderful show tonight.
Thank you.
And now I would like to add my thoughts to this so that you can discuss them. I drive around with big signs on my truck, on the tailgate and on two big signboards, saying, audit the IRS. But now that has to be done by, guess who? The government of we the people, as it was so stated in our founding documents. We the people of the United States are the government, and we elect a representative government, and they are sworn to uphold the Constitution, which has been so well put on this show that they are violating. Now, the reason I say audit the IRS is because employees, approximately 5,000 of them, have charged over $50 million on credit cards funded by we the people, the taxpaying government of America. Add this on now, just about a week ago on Fox News, I heard that the EPA has charged $150,000 by about 80 employees on credit cards funded by we the people. And just now, Greta Van Susteren had somebody from the USPS, the United States Postal Service, and there was over $100,000 by one woman on a gambling junket to Las Vegas and other infractions. So this now gives we the people grounds to go after everybody who has a credit card funded by we the people. That is fraud. That is theft. That is additional income, which means anybody who has charged money on a credit card and used it for buying, let's say, a jacuzzi in their backyard, a jet ski, or took a ski trip or a gambling trip, that's additional income, which now puts them under the IRS codes for additional money, penalties, and interest, all coming back to we the people in a special account. That's what we have to strive for. And with this America, with this program going to on May the 16th to Washington, audit the IRS should be on the lips of everybody there and everybody from now on hearing this program. If we want to do something for our government, we have to audit the IRS and then everybody else who has a credit card. We the people can do it.
Charlie, are you going to be going? I know you've talked about it. You and I have talked about it, whether we're going to carpool up there on the 16th.
I'm still planning on it.
Are you still thinking about doing it? Okay.
Still thinking about doing it.
Okay. Great.
And I tell you, the truck has two major signs on it. The very first one brings in the Supreme Court. It says, no prayer in school. Blame courts, Congress, and ACLU for the violence and crimes against you. Then it says, audit the IRS, period. And then there's the cross of Jesus with praying hands, because that is the solution to our problems, because God knows all and God will correct all. But we the people have to work with him to make it happen. So are you guys with me?
True.
Or against us? Because if you're patriots, I know you love God and country,
well,
the
only difference I might have with you is I see no reason to audit the IRS. If you said abolish the IRS, we'd be on the same page.
First, you audit
the IRS
them, and you get them for the violation of the people's trust and the fraud, and then you abolish them because you're going to get rid of them. Because there's the only one way you can really get rid of them is find them on a criminal act, and the criminal act would be using the credit cards that are funded by the taxpayers for personal items. Those credit cards are supposed to be used for legitimate IRS business, not for pleasure. So they are stealing from you and me and every other taxpayer. Once we get them on the audit of the credit cards, we can implode the whole IRS program and abolish it for fraud against we the people. Because we the people, if we're going to be the government, we have to step up and do something about it. And now we have trickle-down corruption, and we've had it for a long time, but now we have the proof, because they've said
on Fox News, and these are private organizations that have been auditing and checking on the credit cards. Over $50 million by the IRS, over $150,000 by the EPA, and now one woman in the USPS, over $100,000. And how do we get it back except by we the people doing it? Because you know Congress is not going to do anything about it, and neither is the Supreme Court, since they just went ahead and okayed for unlimited donations to the candidates, thus kicking we the people, the voters, out of any possible chance of getting to our congressmen and senators. This country has gone to hell, and it's in a handbasket. But we, the people, have to take action. You can't talk about it anymore. We have to do it. And the only way to do it is in a court of law and to make sure that the judges understand that we, the people, are the boss.
Okay. We have another caller out there, too, but just before we go on here, I think I agree. I'm not sure if it was Charles or it was the colonel who was talking, but, you know, I think we have – those are all things that need to be done. We know the IRS is bad. We've got the EPA is bad. The Department of Education is bad. The Federal Reserve is bad. They all need to be abolished. I mean, personally, I don't want to – trying to take them to court in a corrupt system isn't going to do anything as I see it. Even though I agree in principle with what you're saying, I don't think that's going to be it. I want Operation Spring to be a bigger message of saying – Operation American Spring, excuse me – to be a bigger message to say we are shutting down this corruption, period. Let's put that
that's
word
correct.
Period after this.
That's correct.
That's right. Let's use the president's period. But let's make it an honest period where we mean it. He doesn't mean it.
Well, that's
you have
what this
to
is
do.
All
you
about.
Have to do something, and taking action against the employees of the IRS is going to put them in Scaresville, and then they may start rat thinking on all of their bosses.
And yeah, that's again, that's okay. But when it comes to Operation American Spring, I mean, getting people together who might unite to go seek some legal remedy to some of this afterwards, we can continue to talk about. But for the to me, I want Operation American Spring to be a massive message that they better get their act together, and we're going to come after them every which way we can legally, even though, again, to me the court system is too corrupt. I don't know if the Colonel or Charles has comment on that.
I think we're looking here right now at an octopus. We're talking about cutting one of the tentacles off. That won't have any effect because he'll just grow a new tentacle. But if we hit him in the brain, in other words, we hit him right in the head and destroy the octopus, he's gone. And what we're doing with Operation American Spring, I'm not considering or implying we're doing any attacks or anything like that. But we have to go after the brain of this tyranny, which is Barack Obama and his criminal minions. I mean, it's not only him, it's the Republicans, too. John Boehner over in the House of Representatives is absolutely worthless as far as being a legislator, being an overseer of the other branches. If it's going to continue that way, then no amount of trying to deal with the subparts of the Obama administration, because we've seen what he's done to the states. Arizona tried to pass a law because the federal people were not dealing with the illegal aliens. Passed a law basically to just do the same thing, the same law that the feds were responsible for, just to take care of their own people. We want to take care of our people, they said out in Arizona. No, the feds came down, jumped all over them, jumped over Alabama, jumped over some of the Carolinas, and basically the states just went silent. Now, you can't have a Tenth Amendment activity or an action if the states won't stand up and stand up against the federal government, the lawless people up there. Look at Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. I mean, who would have thought a few decades ago that the majority leader of the U.S. Senate would tell the House of Representatives, I don't care how many bills you send over here, if I don't like them, they're not going to be considered. Now, that's tyranny. that is putting the government in chaos. It clearly reflects a lawless government. And I saw a report just today that Obama had told the Joint Chiefs of Staff some time ago that you'll either accept gays or resign. Well, you know what? He didn't have the authority to do that either. But that's his motivation. He wants a military that is totally, totally subservient to him. He wants the officers, officers never take an oath to the President of the United States. It's not anywhere in the oath of an officer. An officer takes an oath to the Constitution. But Obama doesn't pay any attention to the Constitution. It means nothing to him. He's even said it's worthless, it's outdated, and whatever. So, you know, what we're doing, OES, is we're going up there to try to attack, if you will, try to pressure the lawless leadership and say, you know, here's 10 million people. Now, we've already sent Congress a big package of what we want done, and we're here to verify it. If Obama and some of his crew does not step down, then we're going to put legal documentation into the House of Representatives and say, you know, you got this package from us. It's from we the people. We want action on it or else. And that's exactly what we mean, or else. We're going to try to stay up there, too. It's not just going to be a one-day event like we've had in the past, and, you know, they weather the storm for 24 hours, then everything goes away. So, you know, this thing is in God's hands to a great extent, because this movement would not be where it is if the wind of the Lord wasn't behind it. It's not pulled up from above. We don't have any big name people supporting us. We don't have any corporations. It's just we the people, the grassroots, that's pulling us up. And it all depends on the number of people we have in Washington, D.C. Again, I remind everybody what happened in Cairo, what happened in Ukraine, Venezuela, even in Thailand and other places, when people massed, when they huge, gigantic numbers, and clearly sent a message that enough is enough, we want to change, it's got to stop. If we don't, then the next course of action is not what any of us that have been in the foxhole want to see. We've been in combat, we know the destruction, we know the death and the maiming and all that, but I tell you, we're not going to allow the occupant of the White House and his minions to destroy our nation, to force us down to his knee. Never. So if it's really up to we the people and getting the message out, and Sherry and Sally and Neil, you guys are helping us immensely. And that's kind of where we are with this operation.
Okay, well, we have another caller here, 4011. You can get your name, please.
Yes. My name is Mike, and I wanted to just briefly talk about Commander Walter Fitzpatrick. Are any of you familiar with his saga of what's happened with him?
Say that again. Who was it? What's name?
Retired Lieutenant Commander Walter Fitzpatrick.
He's been exposing
the criminal cabal from Washington, from Obama to the local. It's the local states that have these criminal networks that are deeply entrenched. This man has suffered torture. He has not had support from the patriot community or the veteran community out there. That there should be millions of people watching in Tennessee and removing these people with pitchforks. And any American Spring has got to bring that to light right now, because the injustice that he has suffered, exposing the criminal cabal and the way they're operating, tanking the grand juries. He exposed the president for using military in American City. The treason complaints that he tried to advance to the federal courts and the local courts that have been stopped by by the gatekeeper prosecutors, and the criminal retaliation that they did against him is an injustice that just cries out to have millions of people descend on Tennessee and descend on Washington and bring that message that this kind of crack should never be tolerated, and that the treason against a highly decorated naval officer who stood up for the highest principles of military honor, standing against this stuff, cannot get unnoticed. It has to be absolutely just seared into the conscience of every, you know, I've brought this matter to the colonel of the Marine Corps, the general of the Marine Corps, the admiral of the Navy, and they ignored it while he was being tortured in a Tennessee dungeon. And I'm pissed. I'm pissed mad as hell that we do not have people descending on that state and ripping these people out of their office and throwing them into prison. And this is what needs to happen right now. I'm sorry. I'm furious. I've seen Fred go through this torture for 4 or 5 years now, and they're trying to break through the media blackout. They have a blackout on it, we've approached congressmen, we've approached the FBI, the TBI, you name everybody that's supposed to be in law enforcement, that's supposed to uphold the laws and the Constitution, and they're derelict in duty and need to be arrested and thrown in jail.
Okay,
it's a great point, because Commander Fitzpatrick has fought those folks up in Tennessee for years now. He's been thrown in jail, mistreated. But it's YOAS. It's not only there, it's rampant. Consider Fast and Furious and Benghazi and the IRS scandal and the
right.
Tea Party attacks. You know, the treachery at NSA, the economy that, I mean, there's so many things that the government just absolutely washes under the rug and ignores that are issues that should be addressed based on the Constitution. But they don't do it.
At this point here, they're bringing our country to the brink of war with Russia and China, because we cannot reach in and pull these people out. The grand juries they're trying to form have all been met with retaliation and abuse and physical violence on their persons and stuff like that. It is bad. It is worse than you could possibly imagine. I mean, we're way past the point of extremists here. And we have to let them know that this is their last chance to avoid war.
Well said, my brother, I'll tell you.
Right, this is the last chance they have to avoid. They need to surrender it back, and they need to start working in good faith, because I've seen nothing but bad faith. These people, you try to address it, and they do more and more damage. They retaliate against my wife. They retaliate against me. They retaliate against everybody that's tried to blow the whistle on this stuff. Okay? And we've been victimized by it, and we're tired, and we're mad as hell of it, and it's got to stop. And this is the point right now. It's got to stop, because you know what? We're running out of time, guys. And we should take that American Spring, run it through Tennessee, give them notice that when we come back, those people better clean up, or they're going to be jailed.
Well, they're going to have a chance. They're going to have a chance with Operational American Spring. We're clearly proclaiming that we're going in there peaceful, unarmed, nonviolent, obey all the laws, but we're going in there under our constitutional authority, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and to present our demands, grievances, and articles of impeachment. Now, you know, if they don't get what it is we say, if none of those people step down that we're asking, and we want Obama and Biden and Reid and McConnell and Boehner and Pelosi and the Attorney General.
All the cities and all the states replaced, all of them. They're all complicit.
Yep. The Congress, well, you know, when the Congress does nothing at all, there can be no doubt that they're all complicit. Either that or they're just total backsliding cowards. That's the only thing you can
think
of. They're
complicit, Colonel. They're complicit, Colonel.
Yeah.
I said earlier, before you came on, these people are highly skilled, highly intelligent, well-trained, well-educated, know what they're doing. Nothing they do is incidental or accidental or inadvertent. This is plain and simple. People knowingly and willfully violating their sworn oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which in itself is bad enough. But when that leads to tyranny, it's got to stop. We're going up there starting May 16th. We mean business. We don't plan on going to Washington and not getting what we go up there for. We're going up. We're going to get our government back. We're going to get our Constitution upheld, or we are not leaving.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike, for that information. Please keep listening. We've got a couple other callers out there. But before I go to the next caller, I was going to just ask, and maybe Sherry has a question too. When it comes to the people doing something, now everybody knows May 16th, and as I have been telling people, we don't know when it's going to end. That's when it's going to begin. And when we had Chris Blystone on a while back, he was explaining about helping others. If you can't go yourself, to help others, sponsor them, give them the gas, money, and the food, whatever the supplies are, and those kind of things. But what do people need to know who really do want to participate in this? What do you want them to do right now to coordinate with you? Make, you know, what is that process so that they know what to do?
What we really need people to do is, obviously, we need prayer. We need to start with prayer. But what we need people to do is to go around, talk to their families, talk to their civic organizations, talk to their churches, let them know we're dealing with criminals running this government. People are not foolish. If you explain this to them in simple terms like we have tonight, they'll see it. Once people understand the nature of what we're talking about here, we are just everyday people in this country that want to live our lives. Well, we're not going to be run by criminals. So what we need people to do is to get that word out, make people understand why we're saying that. We're not just saying these things because we want to say them. I have no interest in calling anybody a criminal. I have no interest in doing that. I also have no interest in having criminals trying to run my life. Why not just let them out of the prisons and let them run my life? It is no difference to me. But on the issue of tyranny itself, so that maybe we can better illustrate to the folks that are listening why we're calling it a criminal act. Hear me out. I'm listening to Ben Carson the other day, Representative Carson, one of the most skilled and gifted surgeons that ever lived. Very intelligent man. We're lucky to have him. One of the few that I would call fellow constitutionalists. He knows a lot of older people. The surgery he does, he beats those people in large numbers. And he was talking the other night, and here's what he said. On this, he's talking to, you know what they're saying to him? That they're glad they're going to be dead before this happens to this country. Have you ever heard such a thing? Have you ever heard grandparents, your grandmother, your grandfather, retired seniors talk like that in this country? Conversely, I'm listening to a young man out of Gloucester, Virginia, running for a half seat. And he's in his early 30s. And listen to what he said. He said, I'm in my early 30s. And I feel compelled to run and try to get this job so that I can try to do something about what's going on in this country because I feel like I'm running out of time. Who ever thought we'd be in the United States of America and hear people in their early 30s talk like that? It's happening on both ends. It's happening to the older folks. It's happening to the younger folks. Do you understand why? Tyranny, folks, that is the definition of tyranny. People don't think and talk like that that are living in freedom. People don't think and talk like that that have liberty. People do not think and talk like that that are ruled by the Constitution of the United States. We've never heard anything like that before, but we do now. Beyond that, let me get into a little bit of the God element. Whoever thought, could you have imagined King George telling the colonists when they could pray? He never even thought about anything that goofy. Could you imagine him telling them where they could pray? Could you imagine them telling him what you could or couldn't do in your church? Could you imagine King George telling the people of the church and the church itself, you're going to use your money to kill babies in their mother's womb? He wouldn't have even dreamt of saying anything like that. But that's the government we're living in today. That is tyranny.
Excuse me for just a minute. I'm hearing some background noise. I don't know if somebody's playing with their papers or shuffling something or whatever.
No, I don't know where that's
we can
going
hear
from.
All that. Whoever's doing that, either put the mute on your phone or something. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to interrupt, but people couldn't
that's
hear what you're
right.
saying. And the
but
thing
that's
about
what I'm saying about this. When you have, and look, whether you're pro-abortion or you're anti-abortion, doesn't matter in this context. You can't tell me it's not tyranny to tell a church they're going to use their money to kill babies. If that's
well,
not the
Boston.
Definition of tyranny, pardon?
The situation that's happening in Boston where the state has literally kidnapped the child and is using the child as a guinea pig for drug tests or whatever else they're doing. Who would have ever thought
totally
that
amazing.
Could happen in America?
Totally amazing. And then you had the young girl a few months back that they were not going to allow to get surgery. The judge had to overrule Sebelius. And then President Obama comes on TV yesterday the other day and says, well, we still don't have death panels. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? What was that?
Hmm.
Was the panel got to be more than one person or something?
Excuse
me,
can I cut in here, Colonel Riley? I have a question for you. Have you done anything or anyone in your group to alert or organize any communication with other countries and their media to get outside attention?
You know, we've seen at least one or two indication of that somebody has reported out there. We got a few people that belong to our websites that are outside the nation. Basically what they're saying, I think, is that if you're not successful, then we're coming to help you. But
Bravo.
we want to fight our own battles if we can, and we can because we've got the people to do it. I suspect there's 100 million patriots that feel just like we do, and that's adults, not 17-year-olds and younger.
Right.
But if we can't get 10, and I'll just make a bottom line here, and then I'll sign off and let Charles or your callers. But this is what has to happen. If citizens and patriots, one and all, fail to understand that this grave threat to our nation, fail to join us by the millions in D.C. beginning on May the 16th, it will signal surrender to Barack Obama and make clear he's free to proceed with the socialist communist takeovers and the destruction of America. That's exactly what's going to happen. People need to look over at the pictures or look over at their kids, look over at their grandkids, their great-grandchildren, and say, are we going to do with this, or are we still going to maintain that attitude? Let someone else do it. It doesn't affect me. Well, it does affect everyone, and we all know that. We see what he's doing and what the nation has become. So the only way we can really make this a constitutional restoration is millions and millions of we the people in a peaceful, non-armed, non-violent gathering in Washington, D.C., beginning May the 16th. That's the bottom line. We try to, believe me, if there was any other approaches, any other ways to do it, somebody would have already done it.
But this is not going to be an easy thing. It's going to be tough, and there's a lot of people that are saying, well, I can't go. I don't have the money, but I'm going anyway. And we also, on one of our websites at least, we've got a tab up there that says, if you want to go but have no money, put your name down. If you want to put money up but can't go, put your name down. We also tell everybody to make sure they're pastors. As Pastor Wiley said earlier, pastors, tell your flocks what's going on in the United States of America. We need a resurgence of the Black Robe Regiment that our founding fathers relied on. That was where the communication was passed to the citizens. And we need all that. We need letters to the editor. We need standing up before tea parties, going to them, trying to enlist their support. If we get all this done, and it's growing, there's no doubt about it, it's growing, then we're going to be successful.
Well, Colonel Riley, I just have to tell you, in the state of Florida, the leader of our Black Robe Regiment is Donna Rogers, and she's getting the word out consistently.
That's great.
Yes,
she is. I was hoping that what we could do would have the Black Robe Regiment, the headquarters, or their web page, or document something that they believe that the principles of Operation American Spring are valid. It's an honorable effort. It's a noble effort. Like I said, under the wings of the Lord, and patriots who truly and love their nation almost beyond description. So I'm thanking you, and I'll let Charles and you all proceed on. I've got to check about my bride right now.
Please
well,
do,
thank you,
Colonel Riley.
God bless you and your
God
wife.
God bless you, yes.
Yes, thank you. And we will keep her in our prayers.
And I just wanted to say, Sally, at this point, I don't know if John Sink is on the line.
I know.
It's going to be John Sink. help. there, whatever.
No, we do have we still have two callers out there. So if John calls in, he should be hitting the button to let me know. So right now
we
do have two other callers. If you want, Neil, did you want to say something else, or I'm sorry, did someone say something?
No, I didn't. But I hope that this can do something for our country, because it's definitely correct in what he's saying. If this doesn't do anything, we're done. We have too many elected officials that could care less about their constituents. They only know us when they want our vote, and I don't think that even matters anymore. And we need just to stop paying taxes.
Amen.
Flat out stop paying taxes so they don't have the money to do their agenda in destroying this country and turning it into communism.
That's the one thing you always get someone's attention with, is the pocketbook, the power of the wallet. And if you close that wallet, it all dries up. There's nothing for them to run on.
That would tend to irritate them, to say the least. I'm kind of glad you brought that up, because the Colonel mentioned that this has slowly been transpiring for 100 years, and it has. On a spiritual aspect of it, when Darwinism went full swing. And look, I'm not here to talk about supernatural. I'm really not. But when Darwinism went full swing in this country, the tyrants saw that as an opportunity to displace God. Not that they cared too much about God, other than the fact that they knew that we got in the way and interfered with what they wanted to do. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but if you look at the history of mankind, tyranny is nothing new, and tyrants are certainly nothing new. And anybody who thinks they're not in this country as well as other countries needs to rethink it. They've always been with us. They have not been successful.
But those kind of people are always there. Whether they're successful or not is the question, and that's what we're talking about tonight, isn't it? So when Darwinism went full swing, they helped make that happen to remove God from the equation. Then you had that little Scopes monkey trial and just made creation and everything else just seem like a joke. But there was a reason for that. God stood in the way of their design on things. How? One of the most genius aspects of our founding fathers and why so many people say they were inspired by God to create this system we live under in this country. Where did they say our rights come from? From God. What was genius about that? Well, if our rights come from God, man cannot do anything about that. Man cannot alter them. Man cannot change them. Man does not give those to you. Man cannot take them back. And that was the true genius of what they did. Because whether you were an atheist, whether you believed in God, didn't believe in God, loved God, hated God, you still were a beneficiary of your rights coming from there, whether you believed in it or not. Tyrants know you cannot have a system like that and have tyranny. So they really went full swing with Darwinism. And then what did that result in? Well, before I get to that, at around the same time, they came up with the income tax, which was never part of the fabric of this country. Why? Because they knew if they could get their hands on the people's money and start using it, people to vote for them, that their power could be derived from the people's largesse. So you had two things going on simultaneously. One, eradicate God using primarily Darwinism, and then get the people's money so that I can then use it to get myself a constituency. And over the last 100 years, look what has happened with those two elements. Starting in the early 60s, I remember being a young man in Baltimore, going to school. They prayed in the morning. They read the Bible in the morning. We all thought it was a big joke. But that's what they did every morning. The Supreme Court struck it down, said you can't do that anymore. That was the real beginning of the Supreme Court being considered the last word in this country for some reason. They don't have the final say what we can and can't do in this country. They can make a decision, a judicial decision, but no one had to let that stand. And so the colonel talked about the Black Road Brigade. Where were they when that happened? And where have they been since then? So what the Black Road Brigade has allowed to happen is for the tyrants and the people that do not believe to push Darwinism down everybody's throat, while the Black Road Brigade and the Christians and the church went the other way. Something's wrong with this picture. We can't have a free country and have that happening. And that's whether you believe in God or don't believe in God. It's just a moral underpinning. That's all we're talking about here. While at the same time, they use the taxpayers' money to build one bureaucracy after another bureaucracy after another bureaucracy. They know what they're doing, folks. Nobody is accountable in these bureaucracies. They're not even accountable to the people that started them, the Congress. They come into Congress now when they're having a hearing. They laugh at the congressmen and the senators. Maybe not, you know, right in their face. But if you look at it, who ever heard of the IRS, a person as high up as Lois Lerner, going to go before the Congress knowing she did wrong and plead the Fifth Amendment? This is supposed to be a person that's in a high... And if you have people in those jobs that are criminal in nature, the havoc they can wreak on people, and she goes in not once but twice, pleads the Fifth Amendment, and what happened? Nothing. We have come a long way from the land of the free and home of the brave. On May the 16th, that's going to be the day of starting to change. We're going to Washington, D.C. We're reclaiming our country. We're reclaiming our Constitution. reclaiming liberty and freedom, and they need to understand this is going to happen. They can get on board with us and make this easy, or they can resist it and make it hard. But one way, easy or hard, this is going to happen.
Well, I think the interesting thing that's going to really maybe push the public to get more engaged is the IRS commissioner is preparing to enforce Obamacare penalties. It seems
right.
to me that when Americans, when it hits right at their doorstep, that's when they get engaged. And perhaps this will be another little push to the public to say, look what's happening. The IRS is going to enforce those penalties now. You didn't want Obamacare to begin with. It's unconstitutional. But we don't care about that. Now we're going to get the IRS on you. I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, people, that something's really, really wrong here, could you imagine your grandparents taking that from a government?
Thank you. And then they went around and audited everybody they felt like auditing for any reason at all. I mean, the poor Reverend Billy Graham, man on his deathbed down there.
Right.
And what's he ever done to anybody? And they're down there harassing his two organizations. Why? They're putting people on notice, folks. This is how tyranny works. Please understand why we're calling it criminal. This is how tyranny works. They're using the vessels of government to intimidate people, to coerce people, to scare people, and in many cases, ruin people's lives. When the IRS did what they did...
I'm sorry. Let me jump in and give you an example that I personally know of and have known for many years, and it's a sore spot. There is a singer, many of you may have heard of her. Her name is Dionne Warwick.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And, yes, and she was made ambassador, has a huge home. I mean, you name it, has everything. Well, she owes way over millions of dollars in back taxes, and she has never been gone after. Never. But
right.
she was made ambassador. Can you imagine?
Right.
That goes to show you what our country is doing.
Well, it's different, though, too, because here you have Wesley Snipes that was an actor, and he's sitting in prison for not paying his IRS taxes. So it's basically hit or miss. Like, well, you choose to employ the law this way with this person and ignore it with that person. We are cherry picking here, and you cannot
pick and
do that.
Choose,
yeah. Yes.
Right. Then and then, what's the guy's name? Denise DeJozo, that did that movie on Barack Obama last summer. Matter of fact, he's got another one coming out this summer, and they've tried to railroad him. They've tried to railroad
right.
him for. Contributing money to a candidate. I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
Right.
The things you're overlooking, and you're going to worry about this guy overspent on a candidate. And so, yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. They're picking and choosing. But the bottom line is it's tyranny, and they're doing it for one reason only, to shut the opposition up. Now, let me tell you something. If you think I didn't think long and hard about what I'm doing right now, when I was first asked to do an interview, and it wasn't even on the radio, I had to think it through. I know what they're likely to do to me. And I'm not a young man. I'm not a real wealthy man. And even if I were, they can ruin you real quick, and I know that. This is risky business I'm involved in right now. Folks, why do you think I'm saying that? We're living in a tyranny, or I wouldn't be talking like this. But I am actually putting my family in jeopardy emotionally and financially and reputationally by putting myself out here like this right now, and I know it. But as I said when I first came on this show, I have four children. I have nine wonderful grandchildren. I'm just a guy that wants to mind my own business down here in Virginia. I'm not dying and letting those kids live in a tyranny. That's not going to happen. And they just went a little too far now. We're taking our country back. And all we need is enough people to help us do that, and we can get this done, and we can do it peacefully. That's the beauty of it.
That might bring people's awareness to tyranny, too. And I think you notice in any community that you're in, if you're in a grocery store and you start talking politics, and they are fearful to speak up, you're already under it.
That's correct.
So
that is correct.
If you're hesitant to speak up, that tells you something. If you're afraid of repercussions and ramifications for something you may, or maybe you didn't even say it, but you're in association with someone who said it, and you're fearful for those ramifications, you're under tyranny, people. It's already here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, and it's only going to get worse if we don't make this happen. And we don't have a lot of time. Again, I want to go back to what I said to begin with. These people know exactly what they're doing. These are very skilled people. These are very intelligent people. These are very deliberate people. Anything that's going on is by design. And there's a reason I keep saying that. These are not foolish people. So, look what they're doing economically. Another form of tyranny. If you ran your household the way they're running this government, how long would you last before you went bankrupt?
Oh, you're already done. You're toast.
Okay, so why do so many people think the government can function that way? It can't. They know it can't. And they knew we were in trouble years ago. And whether it's the Republicans or whether it's the Democrats, what do they want to do when they get power? Well, we're going to start this program because we can't pay for what we're doing now. The Tea Party, how did that get started? George W. Bush, not Barack Obama. George Bush and his compassionate conservatism wanting to spend our tax money on all these wild ideas he had. And listen, they might be good ideas. Give somebody the benefit of that. Maybe they're wonderful ideas. But if I'm running my home, and we have X amount of money coming in, we have, let's say, $10,000 coming in a month, and the bills are now $12,000. I can come home and talk, hey, honey, I have a great idea. Why don't we go buy this boat? Or why don't we go on vacation for 2 weeks? Nobody would do that. So the government can't run any differently than a home can. And yeah, we could borrow money and get ourselves by for a while. And that's what the government is now doing. But listen, in the end, one of two things are going to happen. And it's going to happen rapidly. This is not going to be long from now if we don't change this. We're either going to crash financially, which if that happens, the Great Depression is going to look like a Sunday school picnic.
Mm-hmm.
So either that's going to happen, or they're going to take everything you have in order to keep doing what they're currently doing. Please understand that. These are no small matters we are talking about. This is no longer politics, or you don't like Democrats, or you don't like Republicans, or the president's this or that. This is because it's deadly serious. If you allow them to continue doing what they're doing, economic tyranny is what we're dealing with. What else is it? If they take our economic freedom away, what freedom will you then have anyway? Ask the people that went through the Depression, and I knew many of them. My parents and my grandparents went through the Great Depression. They never forgot it. They were hoarding food and everything else. Why? Because they went through that. They didn't have any freedom. They couldn't even eat. Okay. That's economic.
Are we ready for... Oh, excuse me. Are we ready for another call or two?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And when you talk about the Depression, I keep telling people the Great Depression's really coming because we haven't seen the worst of what's going to happen with what they've done to this economy. A caller, the last four digits, 0241. You're on the air. Sorry, I know you've been holding for a while.
Is that, I guess that's me. This is Carl. Okay.
Yes.
I'd like to first start by saying, Colonel Riley has properly identified the disease. Everything else I hear talked about tonight are symptoms, but he has properly identified the disease. Now let me add to that by giving you the name of the disease. The name of the disease is communist dictatorship. That has been proven that since the time of FDR, we have been under this soft dictatorship by virtue of these proclamations he gave, which allowed the state of emergency to exist in perpetuity And every president has known this, whether
Amen.
He's used it or not. So if we have that established, that we have the disease and we have the name for the disease, we have the rallying cry. Now, personally, I'm going to be there, and I want to do my part. To that end, I'm going to ask that any and all Blog Talk programs on Thursday, the 10th, do something they haven't done before. Put forth a unified effort to get a message calling for the unification of our movement based on the absolute finding of the source of the disease. We need to cure the disease, and that is DC. By focusing on the seven that he's got listed, that's a great place to start. We know that it involves the entire 535, but there's no sense in going up there and trying to do the whole thing at once. So the seven is reasonable to me. But we know that right now, both Obama, his predecessor Bush, and before that Clinton and Bush, all of them had dictatorial powers, whether they utilized them or not. And folks, I don't know about you, but those are fighting words for me, because I grew up in what I thought was a constitutional republic. And now I'm finding out, that it is what? It is a communist dictatorship? I'm sorry, I'm not putting up with that. And I hope and I pray that you will also come to that conclusion yourself. That's all I have to say. But you'll be hearing from me. Fred Smart is going to be getting a call from me to help coordinate this on the 10th. And it's all about rallying around OAS and increasing the numbers to an unimaginable amount of people flooding into that city. Riley's right. It's the only way
sir,
that we're going to do it.
Sir, you mentioned
yes.
that we're heading for a socialist communist dictatorship.
No, sir, we are there.
I heard you say that, but can I say this? I wish that's all we had to worry about, because I think it's far worse than that. I really do. I'm thinking more in terms of totalitarian tyrannism. If socialist communism is what you had in Moscow, is what you currently have in Beijing. They have far more in mind for us than that. The divisions they're running across the groups of people in this country, the chaos and turmoil they're fostering on the people in this country, is far worse than that. So if it were that alone, it'd be bad enough. But if you look
if
at
you,
what I'm
if
adding,
you choose to think of that, if you choose to think of that in terms of it being a light duty situation, let's look at it this way: in Stalin's Russia, that was a socialist dictatorship as well. And what did they do? Oh, I don't know. They murdered millions of their civilians.
Oh, they sure did.
In Germany, that was a socialist dictatorship as well. What did they do? They murdered millions of their citizens. And right now, we have a socialist dictatorship that is going after our guns as we speak. To what end? To murder millions of its citizens. History repeats unless we stop it.
Amen. Sally, let me get in here. We need to, Sally, you need to get that man's contact so that we can help with the Blog Talk Radio show on the 10th.
Right. Yes. In fact, I was just going to ask him, please send me an email. Send an email to AmericanStatesman@1791.com and just put in the subject line, the Operation American Spring, the May 10th reminder, something like that, and then put some information in it, and then I'll put it on the calendar to make sure we put it out there.
American Statesman.
You know what I wish I could have said when he was saying that? I don't know how familiar you are with Mark Levin, but when he gets a character on his show, he might tell him to get off my phone, you big dope, is what I wish I could have said to him. But he's not a big dope. He's not a big dope. That's the sad part about it.
American Statesman at?
At 1791.com.
Got it. I'll send it out now. You got it.
Thank you. We'll do that. Thank you, Neil, for getting that in there.
Yes.
I keep meaning to do those things, and sometimes I miss them.
So, okay, caller, did you want to say anything else? We got one other call, who, and we're down to about 20 minutes, so we do have one other caller out there. Was there anything else you want to say?
Go ahead and bring them on, and let's make sure we take care of them first.
Okay. Let's go ahead. And this is caller, the last four digits, 0176. You're on the air. Can we get
How
are
you doing? My name is George. I'm from Michigan. How are you doing, you guys?
Hey,
right.
George. Fine.
Where are you from in Michigan, George?
I'm from Fostoria.
Okay.
It's about 10 miles north
of Michigan. Spent a lot of time in Michigan. I'm originally out of the auto industry, and I've been just about everywhere in your state. Have you ever been to Frankenmuth?
Oh, yeah. They're about 20 miles north of me.
Okay, well, I know exactly where you're at. I wound up going there from Flint, Michigan with some friends.
Yep.
And it's a good thing we were in a Jeep because one of your Michigan snowstorms hit us on the way. And we had a blizzard inside about 10 minutes. And by the time we got to Frankenmuth, there was one place open. I don't even know what they were doing open, so we did get a meal. But, man, I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
When it snows in Michigan, it doesn't take long to get 8 inches. It really does.
Yeah, we get some cold wind. I'd like to say that I'm proud to say I'm an OAS outreach team leader,
well,
first off.
You.
And I have a couple of questions. I'm really concerned as to why we cannot get the media to listen to us. I have tried, and you just get no response from these so-called talk show patriots.
When we first started talking on the show tonight, our wonderful host asked me if I thought we would get pushback when we have our OAS rally, movement, mission. I don't know why I'm calling it a rally. And I said, yeah, I do think we're going to get pushback. And I think what you're describing right now is part of that pushback. I really do. It is highly unusual for someone to not have picked up some of this by now. There's a lot of people involved in this. There's an awful lot of people involved in this. For it to be getting no attention at all. But if I can say anything to make you feel better about that, sir, and I don't want to sound hokey, I think God is helping us make that happen. We don't need those people doing anything for us right now. Once the media gets in it, they're going to define us just like they did the Tea Party, and they're going to do everything they can to do us in. We're better off without it. Once they start on us, and I don't care if it's favorable coverage. Let's say you have one or two national broadcasts that were favorable. Once that happens, the rest of them are going to pile on and you know it. And all you're going to be hearing about is how we're bigots and racists and hate mongers, and they're going to take patriots that have 4 kids and 9 grandkids and turn them into a bigot hate monger. I don't need that kind of help right now. So we're better off not having that publicity. We're better off keeping it grassroots. We can talk to an awful lot of people. I was at an LAS meeting last night, just to give you an example, and it occurred to me, everybody in the room, to go online, start sending emails to every church, every civic organization, every foundation. That's how we get a positive buzz going. And for us to not be getting any attention up to now, I got to believe it's God intervening. I just do. Something's going on, and I think it's to our benefit.
Well, you know, I was disturbed by something probably a couple months ago when I first started sending out our information. I got back a few responses from veterans organizations telling me to stop sending them our information. And I looked at that, and I said, are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, that's how far along we've come. That's how far we've come as a country, and not to say anything bad about veterans groups, because I would be the last one to want to do that. But when I saw the veterans groups and what they did or didn't do when they treated our veterans like they did during that government shutdown. That's all
right.
We all need to know about the current state of veterans groups. They did nothing
well,
about those veterans at that World War II memorial. What has happened
I'm not
to our veterans
to lump
groups?
Them. I'm not trying to lump them all together. But,
no, but I didn't
could
hear
not
any
even...
of them helping. I didn't hear any of them helping with that.
Yeah.
What is that? There was a time when if you went, did something against veterans in the United States, those people would be on you. They make the NRA look like a bunch of Boy Scouts. Now they're worse than the Black River Brigade. I don't know what's happened to them. I don't know if they've just decided not to fight. I don't know. I wish I did. And I'm the last one that wants to talk about them like I'm talking. But I will tell you this. I can't believe that military people are running those organizations and allow what's been happening to go on, especially at that World War II memorial. And it didn't happen just one day. And a couple of them went, came out and made a couple comments about it, and I said, oh, well, boy, I'm glad you at least said something. We think it's wrong the way they're handling it. Yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks for saying you thought it was wrong. I would have thought the Veterans Organization would have been there at the gate.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
No.
You would have thought. Yep.
Okay,
well, we had one other person who just wanted to get one call in. This will have to be our last call. George, was there anything else quick you wanted to say? So let me get this call.
No, all I have to say is we're going to do it.
Thank you,
George.
George,
I'll see you in Washington.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, and let's go. We have this one last call for now. The last four digits are 8845. And let's see if I can get this machine to work. Okay, 8845, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Yes, Larry Malone.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
How you doing?
Right.
Hello, Larry.
I just wanted to answer a couple of questions. I'm a Texas Region 1 commander for Operation American Spring. And
here you are, wild down there.
You betcha. I just wanted to interject a couple of things that I've found in my experience so far with this. Part of the reason the big media dogs on the patriotic radio shows are not participating is we're not offering them a platform to further themselves. We're not offering them speaking rights. We're not letting them sponsor our event. We're not giving them their 15 minutes that they require to further their own agendas because we are a grassroots effort, and that's exactly why they've turned their backs on us. I've been in contact with several of them, some of them in person, and they'll tell you quite frankly, you know, what are you going to do for me? And that's the
part. That's why I'm calling it a gift from God.
Exactly. That's the sad commentary on, you know, okay, so saving your country is not enough motivation for you to get on your radio with your mega listeners and support us. You've got to know what, you know, what it's going to do for you. As far as the veterans groups, the state command for the VFW is here in my hometown, and I went by and visited with the commander. And he basically told me that most veterans groups' hands are tied because in order to keep their charters, they have to remain apolitical. So
wow.
they cannot distribute any information that leans one way or another. Although they do tell me in private that they definitely support what we're doing.
Yeah.
They definitely told us to reach out to the independent VFW posts individually, and they told me, although I can't give you a list of, you know, all the posts and their contact information, I will give you a hint that called the phone book. And so we were able to use the phone book, and most of those independent VFW posts who don't have to operate under the national or the state charter, they can support us individually. So we've gotten quite a bit of support and feedback from the local VFW groups, and they support us overwhelmingly in spirit, if nothing else. And I was told, you know, just keep sending the emails. They're being read, although we can't post them and, you know, we can't do anything with them. They are being read. And so I continue to send them out. And, you know, the information is getting out there. I think that we'll be pleasantly surprised with how many veterans groups show up as individual veterans, not as, representatives of their groups.
Well, that helps.
Well, we had
some,
a gentleman who was to join us tonight by the name of John Sink, and we just keep missing each other, just sent me a message, and he's living in a state where, Connecticut, where they're trying to take away his guns, and he's been a great individual working for the fire department for 20 years, and he was saying, just by the stroke of the pen, you're going to turn me into a felon because I want a gun to protect my gun rights. I'm sorry that we keep missing each other. He would have been a great addition to tonight's show, so because it fits right in with what we're talking about.
Well, if he's listening, Connecticut has the support of many, many, many millions of people around the country in protecting their Second Amendment rights, and he needs to know that support is real and genuine. And although we're not in that state, we're doing everything we can to let the people know there and let the representatives know there that what they've done is wrong, and they need to take a couple of steps back, because you're absolutely right. They've turned, you know, hundreds of thousands of Connecticut civilians into felons. With the stroke of a pen. You're absolutely
They're
right.
They're also having a huge rally. I believe it's Saturday, Sally, the 5th, at the Capitol in Connecticut. And there's a lot of surrounding states that are going to be attending this because they know they're next.
That's right.
It's supposed to be a huge rally on the 5th.
Well, I'm sure the media will have all the streets on a loop, so it'll look like Connecticut was abandoned that day, but you can bet your money there'll be a whole lot of people there.
And that's what you said. That's what's going to take, the numbers of people just showing up and being there. Now, on to the people like Neil and I. You know, we're with you in heart and spirit, but the body is, you know, weak. So are you recommending that the people like us, that we go ahead and just on that day go visit our local legislature and just kind of camp out and keep them company with a cup of coffee? And
What I would love to see is that and go there and go right on the steps of the Capitol and pray. That's what I would love to see.
One of the things that we're asking for the people who just cannot go is to just totally burn down the telephone system at the Capitol on that day.
Okay.
Calling every representative from your state and demanding that they stand up and take notice of the people that are outside of their building. And we think that we're going to have enough people doing that where their switchboards are just going to melt down. And that's that. You know, that's something that anybody can do. There's people, obviously, that for health reasons can't make the trip, and maybe for health reasons can't even go to the Capitol, but they can sure pick up their telephone.
Yes, sir.
That's going to be huge. We're going to have people, you know, at the representatives and at the senators' offices asking to speak to our representatives on that day, probably lines of thousands of people. And that's just another benefit. If we load the phones down with people demanding to speak to their elected officials on that day, pointing out that there are millions of people in your street, how about go out and mingle with those people and tell them why you've done what you've done? You know, that's a very positive effect for us, the ones of us that are going.
Okay.
Absolutely. And there was something else I was going to say. It was profound, and it just left me, so it must not have been that profound. But I'm sitting here looking at what you're doing, at the numbers and everything, and the people in the community, and you're telling us to make phone calls. I know Neil is like a Trojan horse when it comes to this stuff. She's just the biggest warrior you've ever seen. So we can do that. So what can we do in the media right now to start pumping this up locally, besides doing the blog talk, besides, like, Neil and I both know people that publish a grassroots newspaper. We can put it there. We can put it in the churches. But what else can we do to get people really involved? Just let them know, hey, if you can't make it, start calling on this day. Now it came to me. This is the thing I wanted to ask you. What is the significance of May 16th? Is there a significance?
We're starting on May 16th.
I know, but what was there something to do with that date in particular? What motivated you to go target that date?
The Colonel would be the one to have to answer that intelligently.
I personally believe that, is the Colonel still on?
No, he wanted to take service ride.
I personally believe that the Colonel is smart like a fox. We know that that on Memorial Weekend, Rolling Thunder comes in every year. And so that's going to be, you know, an immediate backup to our numbers. If our numbers are starting to dwindle, there are several rallies that that go to D.C. During that first week of either Memorial Weekend or the first week of June. And so what we're shooting for is to get our millions there, and then as our numbers, you know, dwindle some for people who have to return home, that we will be reinforced by groups that of patriots that go there on their own journeys, but they now are going to be going there in support of Operation American Spring. So it'll be basically a resupply of boots on the ground is my opinion.
How much time? You did mention that you gave packets to the people in D.C., that you gave them all information regarding this. Have you heard from anybody regarding this?
For example, I sent personal letters to my representatives and senators, mm-hmm. and I also sent a petition that we were asked to send up there. And I had one return from John Warner, who's running scared in his Senate reelection. Didn't respond at all to my personal letter. So yeah.
No,
I mean,
basically all you get is a generic response that they all have. We've actually compared notes, and there's probably 10 words different from Texas to South Carolina to Florida.
Okay.
It seems like they all have the same script.
So in other words, up in D.C., they've been put on notice, and because of the responses that you're getting that are so generic, they've already been talking about this and discussing what they're going
to... Oh, they know about it, absolutely.
Okay, so
they already
have a plan in place then on how to deal with you.
I don't think they have a plan in place how to deal with this many people. I think they're still thinking that because of the numbers of the website that we're still, you know, a very small group. And unfortunately, because of the tyranny y'all were speaking of earlier, there are millions of people that are going that are not a part of the website.
Right.
You know, they don't want their name out there, but they're definitely going to be there. So,
okay, really quickly, let me throw this in. For anyone that can't go, if you know of a neighbor, a friend, someone in your family, whoever it is that wants to go, is having difficulty as far as financial, please, if you can't go, represent yourself and help somebody out with some gas money or something.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
and if
they don't know somebody individually, if they go to the site, we have a have a ride and need a ride, and people post in there, you know, their want to go or they're financially unable to go, and we hook people up directly with each other. For people that are willing to support somebody else.
Where did they go to the site?
The website.
What's
the Operation American Spring?
That's OperationAmericanSpring.org.
Okay, .org, O-R-G. So spell out Operation American Spring, and they can find everything there, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, they can.
God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being on tonight's show. Neil, you're such a trooper. I really treasure you. Thank you so much. And Sally,
I love you too.
All the hard work. I really appreciate both of you.
Okay, God bless
you
guys. God bless America.
It's a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
God bless America. Thank you.
Are you there, Sally?
Yep,
Sally?
We're still here. I don't know. Yes, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I'm still here.
Yep.
Are we
on
the air? Are we on
the
air?
The live is off. No, we're off the air now, but it's still recording, I think, just a couple of things. They've kind of changed us around,
okay. Well, let me know, because, like I said, I want to help somebody, if it's Charlie or whoever, that wants to go. I do want to donate money for some gas to help out. I need an address, so thank you very much.
Okay, I will do that. I will make sure I provide that to you. And
okay.
This has been an excellent show. Very good, a lot of good information. And, hey, it's up to us. We the people, take it back or move it or lose it.
That's exactly right. Look, it was my pleasure talking with you all tonight.
Oh, and
thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Good night.
I'll talk to you later.
Sherry, are you still there? Okay, she just dropped. Okay,